welcome to our program. We are in Ephesians chapter 1. You'll get a lot more out of it if you have your Bible ready. Of Ephesians, we find the word grace 12 times. Paul begins with, "Grace be unto you." And the last verse of Ephesians, Paul said, "Grace be to all them which love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity."
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have
and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Today we're going to just have a review of Ephesians chapter 1, and then we'll continue in our next program into Ephesians chapter 2. We know that Paul wrote the book of Ephesians because the verse that starts out with this book says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus." Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was also, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, and he referred to himself many times as Paul, a servant, means a bond slave. A bond slave had no rights whatsoever. Why did Paul do what he did? Well, verse 1 tells us, by the will of God. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4, it says, God has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He has chosen us in him before the foundation to be saved. Is that what it says? No, that's what Calvin said it says. What it says is, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And then there's the question of predestination. Ephesians 1 and 5 says, having predestinated us unto salvation. Is that what it says? No, that's not what it says. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. When you're adopted into a family, you're accepted as part of the family. And so, having predestinated us unto adoption into the family of God. One might say, why do you make such a fuss about this predestination thing and keep bringing it up? I'll tell you why I keep bringing it up, because it is an attack on the character of God. Calvinism is heresy. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. John 5 and verse 40, he said, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Now, if I'm going to be a Calvinist, Jesus is going to have to say, now, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life, except for you guys over there. You're not predestined. You cannot come unto me that ye might have life. That is heresy. In chapter 1 and verse 7, we see two things that we have as Christians. Number one, we have redemption through his blood. And two, we have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, we have redemption and we have forgiveness. Those are words we've kind of gotten used to. We should never get used to those things. In verse number 9, he refers to the mystery that was made known. Mystery is something that was hid from before the foundation of the world. And the mystery has to do with Jews and Gentiles being together in this age. Now, that was something that was very difficult for the Jews to accept. They looked at Gentiles as dogs. If they went past Gentiles, past their area, they would go home and wash themselves and shake the dust off their feet. And they would do all kinds of things because they hated the Gentiles. And the mystery was that we would be brought together, Jew and Gentile, in the local church age. In Ephesians 1 and 13, we see three things that they did at Ephesus there. Number one, they heard the word of truth, they trusted, and they believed. Now, how shall they hear without a preacher? Someone's got to tell people about the Lord. Then they make a decision. They either trust or they don't trust the Lord. And as Christians, we said, our relationship with Jesus, or anybody for that matter, relationship is based on trust. So we see they heard, they trusted, and they believed. It's interesting that as Christians today, we'll believe God to save us for eternity, but we won't believe him to live the way he says to live for a little short time on this earth. Unbelieving believers, what a paradox. As Paul sat in that rat-infested dungeon that he was in, we find in verse number 15 that he heard about two things concerning the Christians back at Ephesus. Number one, it says he learned about their faith and he learned about their love. And so he began to pray for them, and he prayed for three things: that they would have wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Well, wisdom and knowledge and understanding are very important things to have, but then Paul began to pray not for those things that they would have, but the things that they would know. He prayed that they would know the hope of their calling. The hope, that word means expectations, and he's praying that they would know what is expected of them because they are called to serve the Lord. We'll see that as we get down further on in this book. Not only that, he prayed that they would know about the riches of God, the unsearchable riches, that they would know about their inheritance and the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Well, in our next program, we're going to get into Ephesians chapter 2, where we read, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." What's the difference between trespasses and sins? We'll look at that. "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world," number one. The world is mentioned seven times in the book of Ephesians. "And according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." We'll look at that in our next program. In the meantime, as Christians, let's be pressing on to higher ground.
I'm pressing on the upward way. No heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. My faith has fought the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. To scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.